హరే కృష్ణ.
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్యం నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయశ భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవ. భాగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టి. నమ ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే గోపాలకృష్ణ గోస్వామి ఇతి నామినే. నమ ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇతి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. సో దర్స్ నో స్పెసిఫిక్ వర్డ్స్ టుడే, but we've been asked to narrate the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, Katha, mainly because we want to remember the Supreme Lord, especially during festivals like Janmashtami. We try to remember the Lord more and more. That's really wonderful, because especially in a place like Mayapur, it becomes a lot more easier. Everywhere you turn around, everywhere you go, wherever you see, there are devotees in beautiful tilak, someone or the other chanting japa, and there are conch sounds, there are sounds of the bell, the sounds of the karatal, and everywhere, somewhere or the other, we are hearing Krishna's names, Krishna's glories, Krishna's pastimes. So this process of remembrance takes precedence. It's really wonderful, because Krishna says, Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. So this process of remembrance, Krishna says, it begins there. Man mana bhava mad bhakto, remember me. Man mana, your mind gets engaged in the process of remembering Krishna. Well, actually, this man mana verse, it's considered the topmost verse in the Bhagavad Gita by the acharyas, the topmost. A few days ago in the Bhagavad Gita class, I was describing how the Bhagavad Gita verses are categorized into generic verses, general verses, and then there are some very special verses which are very secretive verses. And then there's another class or category of verse which is slightly even more secretive. And then there's a fourth category, which is completely confidential, very, very confidential, supreme confidential verse. And this Manmana verse is considered the most supreme confidential verse. We'll analyze that shortly, very soon. So this process of remembrance, of engaging the mind and the heart as well, because where the heart is, the mind is, and where the mind is, it is said, the heart is. So we try to remember Krishna with all our hearts. So that is the process, especially during festivals like Janmashtami or Gaurapurnima. Maharaj Ambarish is a prime example of that. Savai mana Krishna padaravindayor. That's how he begins this process of remembering Krishna. He engages his mind. Savai mana Krishna padaravindayor. Vachamsi vaikunta gunanu varnane. And with his tongue, he simply glorifies the names of the Supreme Lord. Vaikunta guna, gunanu varnane, his pastimes, guna. And varnane means describe. Like that, he uses his hands. Kare Hari Mandira Marjana Adishu. So he tries to utilize his hands in cleansing the temple of the Supreme Lord. And then he utilizes his ears. How? By simply hearing the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So this is a fantastic formula for all of us to apply. Simply follow Ambarish Maharaj's steps. But even whilst following these steps, he had to go through some trouble. Great personalities like Durvasa Muni came. And apparently it looked like he gave Ambarish Maharaj some trouble. But in the Thapani, I think it's the Thapani Upanishad, this pastime is given very nicely about Durvasa Muni. Since we are describing pastimes or Leela, I might as well talk about Durvasa Muni. This Durvasa Muni was a very special personality. He's always seen in a very negative role for some reason, but it's a very confidential reason too as to why he's always seen in this negative role. Durvasa Muni is not an ordinary personality because he actually comes in the sampradaya of Madhvacharya. He's actually our sampradaya acharya as well, Durvasa Muni. And his manifestation is also very adbhuta, very wondrous, very wondrous. Shiva had some disagreement with Brahma, Lord Brahma, and he became very angry. He became so angry that he literally started performing the Tandava dance, Tandava Nritya, which is used for annihilation of this cosmic manifestation. He dances for annihilation. Parvati Devi, who was sitting beside Shiva, she could completely not bear the anger of Lord Shiva that was manifesting. And so she proclaimed very stoically, very categorically, Lord Shiva, Durvasam Bhavati Me. Durvasam. Vasam means living in this particular place. Vasam. Dur. Absolutely impossible. Very difficult. Durvasam bhavati me. I cannot live in this place where there is so much anger contained. And so Lord Shiva had to think of a way to remove that anger one way or the other, just so that he could placate Parvati Devi and make that into a nivasa, not a durvasa, but a suvasa. And on the other hand, Atri Muni, the husband of who? Do you remember who's Atri's wife? Anusuya. Anusuya is very chaste. She's known for her chastity. So this Atri and Anusuya, they were praying to Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh at one point of time. And all these three, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, they were so pleased with Atri Muni's performance, his tapasya. And they gave him a boon stating that they would come as their progeny, their sons. So it is the same Atri Muni. It so happened that Parvati Devi, Lakshmi Devi and of course Saraswati Devi, they were a bit concerned. Why is Sati Anusuya considered the most chaste woman? Aren't we the most chaste? And so they wanted to test her. And so they went to their respective spouses and said, please go and test Sati Anusuya. And please find out if she's chaste or we are more chaste than her. So Mahavishnu says, no, that is not a good idea because you will definitely lose. But then you know how it is. They insisted, and so the spouses, they had to give in. And so all three of them went to Sati Anusuya and in the guise of Brahmanas. Atri Muni was in a nearby mountain cave meditating on Krishna. And the three personalities came to Sati Anusuya and said, please give us some alms. But we will accept these alms only if you're unclothed. So this was a predicament for Sati Anusuya because she's so chaste. How could she come unclothed in front of three rishis, Maharishis? She immediately went to Atri Muni and spoke about this predicament, about this situation. Because Atri Muni was a wonderful yogi. He simply meditated on Lord Vishnu and understood that these three personalities with none other than Shiva, Brahma and Vishnu himself. And then he instructed Anusuya, don't worry, you simply obey the desires of these three personalities, you will not be considered unchaste in any way. And so Sati Anusuya immediately went to the three personalities, but she told them one thing, I'm ready to oblige, I'm ready to fulfill your desires, but you have to fulfill my desire. And what was that? If you remember, we received a benediction from the three of you that you will become my children. So I want you, all three of you, in baby form. And I want you to sit on my lap. Then I will offer you arms unclosed. So look how wonderfully she manifested this pastime of being chaste. So Brahma came as Chandrama. Chandrama manaso jataha. He came as Chandrama. And Mahavishnu came as Dattatreya. And what did Lord Shiva come as? Durvasa. All his anger potency came in the form of this baby, Durvasa. So Durvasa is actually the representation of the anger of Lord Shiva. That's why Durvasa is very quick on the tongue. He gets angry very quickly. He's very unreliable in his pastimes. One day he'll be here and he'll say, I'm very hungry. 10 minutes later, he'll walk away. So that's his kind of mentality. But he's such a wonderful personality. Just as Lord Shiva is a supreme devotee of Lord Krishna, Durvasa is also a very supreme devotee of the Lord. But look at Durvasa's position. He puts himself in predicaments. It is in such humiliating circumstances, in such humble circumstances, and it's so difficult to comprehend. Why? Because of the will of the Lord, he puts himself in these circumstances so that the devotees, the Vaishnavas, their glories can be sung all around the world. Their glories can be spread all around the world. That is Durvasa's primary task. He simply wants to put himself in such a subservient position, be humiliated, it doesn't matter, go through such difficult circumstances. But as long as the devotees of the Lord are glorified, he's completely in trance and blissful state. And you can see how we were discussing Ambarish Maharaj and that wonderful pastime where Ambarish Maharaj wanted to break the fast, but Durvasa Muni, he was very angry that Ambarish Maharaj drank Charanamrita, and so he immediately removed the jata from his head and he smashed it on the floor, and there was this big rakshasi fiery demon. I don't know what her name was. I think it was Tarkya, if I'm not wrong. And so immediately the Lord sent Sudarshana Chakra. It killed that rakshasi and then it chased Durvasa Muni. Can you imagine this predicament? The Sudarshana Chakra, koti, 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 koti Surya. It's equivalent to millions of Suryas. So you can imagine the effulgence, the heat of the Sudarshana. And this Sudarshana Chakra was chasing Durvasa Muni. And look at the predicament. He's running around, running from one loka to another loka, bhurloka, bhurloka, swargaloka. Finally, he goes to Brahma. And Brahma says, I'm sorry, I cannot help you. He goes to Shiva and Shiva says, you offended the devotee of the Lord. So how can I help you? And he's a devotee of Lord Vishnu and Sudarshana Chakra belongs to Lord Vishnu. So please go to Lord Vishnu. He will help you. And then he goes to the Supreme Lord and Vishnu says, he's my devotee. I'm very fond of my devotee. Anybody offends my devotee, then I will become very angry. So you better go to my devotee and take his forgiveness. And this way, Durvasa Muni rushed back to Ambarish Maharaj. And there's wonderful tattva between Ambarish and Durvasa Muni. He says some very beautiful verses out there, proclaiming how devotional service is far, far superior than anything else. And from this instance on, Durvasa Muni became so resolute in devotional service and Krishna consciousness that he actually established himself in the banks of the Yamuna, and there he was meditating and simply fasting and living on Durva grass. And therefore, that's another reason why his name became Durvasa, because he simply ate only durva grass, and he fasted all the time. And there is another instance of how the gopis from Vrindavan, they wanted to cross over the Yamuna. Why? Because they wanted to offer lots of sweets to Durvasa Muni and accept his blessings. But the Yamuna was completely flooded, and there were big, big waves, and they couldn't cross over. And then suddenly Shyamasundar comes, Krishna comes, and they ask Shyamasundar, how can we cross this Yamuna river so that we can go and pay our oblations to Durvasa Muni? Krishna thought, and then he said, well, simply tell Yamuna, if Krishna is the best brahmachari ever, then please allow us to cross Yamuna. So the gopis were wondering, oh, Krishna's always playing with the gopis. How can he be the most wonderful brahmachari? Anyway, let's go to the Yamuna. And then they go to the Yamuna and pray, if Krishna is the most wonderful brahmachari, Yamuna, please let us through. And immediately the Yamuna parted. And then all the gopis could go to the other side to worship Durvasa Muni. And out there, they gave all the sweets to Durvasa Muni. And within an instant, Durvasa Muni ate up all the sweets. There was nothing left. There was no Mahaprasadam left. All gone. And then at this point, Durvasa Muni gave blessings to Srimati Radharani that you cook, whatever you cook, will be so transcendental, so wonderful, that anybody who eats this will completely be in blissful state. Nobody can match the taste of what you cook. They will get a long life, and they will be eternally in a blissful state. So here is where Srimati Radharani received that blessing from Durvasa Muni. And now the gopis, they have to return back to Vrindavan, and the whole place is flooded. So at this point, Radharani actually asks, Srimati Radharani asks a question to Durvasa Muni about Krishna and about his personal state. The question was, my dear Durvasa Muni, how can we go cross over the Yamuna? And Durvasa Muni states, simply tell the Yamuna, if Durvasa Muni has complete control over his tongue, over what he eats, then please allow the gopis to cross over. Now the gopis were thinking, very strange. Just a few minutes ago, he completely demolished all the Mahaprasadam. There's not a trace left. And then now, he says, if Durvasa Muni has complete control over his tongue. Now, this is quite a strange situation for the gopis, but they did it anyway. But before crossing over, Srimati Radharani asked Durvasa Muni about this control. And Durvasa Muni said, in a very nice way, just as sound is contained within ether, a sound is contained within ether, but sound and ether are different. And that ether does not know that I'm spirit soul. So how can I be engaged in sense gratification? And similarly, if the sense of touch is contained within air, but that air and that sense of touch is actually different, and that air doesn't know that I am spirit soul, so how can I be engaged in material sense gratification? Similarly, what else is there? Form. What is associated with form? Sight. Is sight associated with form? Who can tell me? So what is contained within form? If sight is contained within form, fire. Fire is contained within form. Fire is contained within form, but form and fire are completely different. And that form, the fire, doesn't know that I am a spirit soul. So how can I be engaged in material sense gratification? And then what is contained within earth? Aroma, smell, that is contained within earth. And both earth and aroma or smell, they are different. So, that earth does not know that I am spirit soul. So how can I be engaged in material sense gratification? So this way, Durvasa Muni gave very nice tattva. So when the gopis went to the river Yamuna and said, because Durvasa Muni is completely in control of his senses, please allow us. And the Yamuna parted. And immediately they were able to go to the other side. So this is the potency of Durvasa Muni. So this way, devotees take all kinds of situations and they're very subservient in their mood so that they can all remember Krishna. They can all simply remember Krishna. So Krishna says he's remembrance. Krishna says he's a cause of forgetfulness as well. So this way, this particular verse, Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakto, Krishna's proclaiming. This is also known as the essence of the whole, the complete Bhagavad Gita. Like I said, there are lots of categories of verses in the Bhagavad Gita, and there are generic verses. The general verses simply tell us how we should maintain our body in a proper manner. Yukta harasya viharasya, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So that's very interesting. And then there are more confidential verses. For example, the most confidential verse, Krishna says, as Manmana Bhavabhakto, and even before he states Manmana Bhavabhakto, he says something else. He says, supreme, most confidential, he uses this word in the previous verse. Does anybody know the Sanskrit verse? Supreme, most confidential. He mentions that. And then he says, Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakto. And the Acharyas say that although the next verse, which is? What is the next verse? Sarva Dharman Parityaja. The Acharya says the Sarva Dharman Parityaja verse is actually the instruction to get bhakti. And this particular verse, Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakto verse, is actually the result or the fruit of that activity that we perform in Sarva Dharman Parityaja. So it's quite amazing this way. So there are lots of instances given in terms of how one can remember the Supreme Lord. The other day in New Delhi, we were discussing, this was 6 months ago, we were discussing a particular pastime that I got to hear about how remembrance can be done of the Supreme Lord. Oh, Krishna was performing his pastime of taking millions of cows, thousands and thousands of cows to the forest of Vrindavan. And this is such a beautiful sight to see because Krishna's decorated in beautiful, beautiful ornaments. The ornaments themselves look so beautiful. But Krishna's complexion is described as so dark and so beautiful to behold that Krishna was in fact making the ornaments look beautiful instead of the ornaments making Krishna look beautiful. So that's described. And then they were about to begin this performance, this pastime of taking all the cows to the forest. And immediately what happened? All the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they followed Krishna as well. Because as soon as Krishna left, all there in their hearts, there were palpitations. Oh, Krishna's leaving. We have to go after him. We have to go after him. Not a moment of... They didn't want to blink their eyes in separation of Krishna. Even Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Maya followed Krishna. And it's explained there was a blind person who wanted to rush and see Krishna leave for the forest. A blind person wanted to run and see Krishna. And this way, Krishna, all the cowherd boys and all the cows, they turned around to Nanda Baba and says, no, no, don't worry, my dear father and mother. We will return very soon, so don't worry. And so with heavy hearts, Nanda Baba, Yashoda Mai, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they had to return. Meanwhile, now Krishna, before he left for the forest, he was looking around for someone. He was looking around for newly married Vrajagopikas who have just entered Vrindavan. So every time there are newly married Vrajagopis who enter Vrindavan, Krishna wants to see them immediately. And just, it so happened that 2 days ago, there was this Vrajagopi, she came to her new husband's house to settle down there. And her mother-in-law and her daughter-in-law, they were getting ready to see Krishna leave for the forest of Vrindavan. And this gopi also wanted to see Krishna. I also want to see Krishna. Immediately, the mother and the daughter-in-law said, the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law said, no, 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 you don't have to go and see Krishna. It's a very dangerous situation. But why? Everybody's going. I want to go as well. No. There is a black serpent. And if you see that black serpent will bite you. And all the poison from that black serpent will enter your heart and you'll be finished. So better you don't go, you stay home. Then the gopi said, no. Look, you're going. My sister-in-law is going. There, all the elders from Rajabhumi, they're going. All the gopis and the gopas are going. All the beasts are going. And she also used the word, all the insects are going to see Krishna as well. So why should I be left alone? I also want to go because my heart is hankering to see Krishna. But the mother-in-law and the sister-in-law, they were very adamant. No, 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 you don't go. It's a very dangerous situation. Please don't go. We're begging you. And then from the distance, they could see Krishna, the dust of Rajabhumi, and hundreds of cows, and all the Gopa boys with the bugles and horns, and they could hear this tumultuous sound. Immediately, the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law rushed to see Krishna. And all the newly married gopis, some of them climbed trees and hiding from behind the leaves. They wanted to see Krishna. Some of them looked through the windows. Some of them went to the roof of their houses and they wanted to see Krishna that way. This particular gopi, she shut the door but left it open a little bit, so there was a crack. She stood behind that door. Nobody could see her from outside, but she could see everybody from inside. So that way she was waiting for Krishna to move and move past so that she could have his darshan, and her heart was hankering for this darshan. Now Krishna stopped. Why? Because Krishna may want to see somebody or he may not want to see somebody. That is Krishna's prerogative. But if somebody has the desire to see Krishna, then Krishna makes sure that it is manifest, that desire is manifest. That is his special mercy. And so Krishna stopped because he understood that this gopika was desirous of having his darshan. And it's described very nicely how his eyes were moving here and there in search of the gopi in a very beautiful manner. So Krishna stood in his transcendental form and he began playing his flute. And it's explained that Krishna's flute, while he was playing, it felt as if all the rasas from his heart, all the rasa from his heart came out of the flute and emanated from the holes of the flute and immersed, inundated the whole of Vrindavan. So that was the situation. So imagine this gopi behind the door, hearing Krishna's flute, the heart began melting completely. And this way, now Krishna had to come and give her darshan, but he had to make it very gentlemanly. He didn't want to make it look very improper. So he simply did a trick. He twisted the calf's tail very expertly in such a way that the calf bolted straight towards the door. And then Krishna chased the calf and then he came and stood in front of this door. And then he stood in a Tribhanga form, and when this gopi saw Krishna's lotus, this flute touch his lotus lip in a Tribhanga form, and this dark poisonous snake standing in front of her. And then Krishna smiled. And when she saw that smile, she was finished. She was bitten completely by this black snake. And then this poison entered her heart. And that's it. Once this poison enters the heart, you cannot do anything. There is nothing you can do. Then immediately after giving this darshan, Krishna went away. But this gopi was stupefied, completely stupefied. Why? It's very difficult to give your heart to Krishna. It's very difficult to give your mind to Krishna. Arjuna also said that. My dear Krishna, my mind, it is so difficult to control my mind. What can I do? So, because it's so difficult to control our mind or give our mind and heart away to Krishna, what happens if we behave in such a way, we act in such a way, Krishna comes and steals our heart and mind? Now, that sounds even better, even more wonderful. And that's exactly what happened in this case. The gopi did not give her heart and mind to Krishna. Krishna stole the heart of the devotee. And once Krishna steals the heart of the devotee, you're finished, because that heart is filled with the poison of the love of Shyamasundara. So this is what this verse, Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakto. Engage your mind, remember me, remember Krishna, actually means acting in such a way that Krishna can come and steal our heart and mind and engage us in his most transcendental service. That's why I mentioned it's so easy in Mayapur to be engaged in Krishna's service, at least with the hope that someday Krishna will come and steal our heart and our mind, because it's so difficult to give our mind to Krishna, to give our heart to Krishna. So that's why this pastime, I mean this particular verse, is considered the most secretive of all knowledge within the Bhagavad Gita. So this way the Srimad Bhagavatam narrates so many wonderful pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarto Mahan. Why? Because this transcendental literature, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is giving us that nectarian pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Why? Prema Pumarto Mahan. It gives us the transcendental, loving, devotional service, pure devotional service of Krishna. Prema Bhakti. So the different verses of Sri Bhagavad Gita, it's explained, can take you to different levels. For example, it's explained, there is Shraddha, Adav Shraddha, there is Bhajana Kriya, there is Ruchi. So in all these different stages, you may or may not be able to give your heart and mind away to Krishna. When you've just begun practicing devotional service, you're not able to give your heart to Krishna during the stage of Shraddha. During the stage of Bhajana Kriya, not yet. Then during the stage of Ruchi, still not there yet. Still not there yet. Then what is the next stage? Nishtha. What is number two? Nishtha. During Nishtha stage, you can give about 50% of your heart away to Krishna. 50%. And then it is only at Prema Bhakti stage that is explained, 100% of your heart will be stolen by Krishna. He simply steals it because he's very greedy for that heart. He simply steals it. You can't do anything. I can't do anything. That is Krishna's position, his sweet will, his sweet desire. He steals it away. So this is a position. So all the association of the devotees, all this chanting process, all this process of serving the Supreme Lord and the Vaishnavas, they're so amazing. Why? Because they take us through this process, and they, one way or the other, eventually culminate in this process of Prema Bhakti. But it is at Prema Bhakti stage that our hearts and minds go completely to Krishna out of his own sweet will, his desire, because of his greed for that heart. So this way the pastimes manifest. And Krishna, he provides everything to every living entity out of his own sweet volition, out of his own sweet will. And the Shastras also explain by giving this example that when the rain falls, that stone and that plant, they both get water. Krishna doesn't. He doesn't differentiate between these two. He gives them equal water. So similarly, Krishna does not differentiate between one living entity or the other. He performs these pastimes so that we can glorify his name, form, and get immersed in these pastimes constantly, so that we can remember him every day, every hour, every minute, every second. But our biggest problem as living entities in this conditioned world is we are attached by two words. We are attached by two words. What are they? If only. We are completely attached by these two words. If only I had this. If only I could do that. If only I had an iPod, it would be so flashy. If only I had a Mercedes car, oh, that would be awesome. if only I had a what screen TV? A 40-inch screen television, that would be awesome. If only, that is our biggest problem in life. If only. But again, if these two words can be changed, if only I had the association of the devotees. The same two words, it just changes a little bit. Well, then these two words can help us remember Krishna. If only I had the association of devotees. If only I had more and more Mahaprasadam access. If only I could read Srila Prabhupada's transcendental literature. If only I could do more kirtan. So this way our remembrance increases by simply transforming these two words, if only. Now isn't that wonderful? So places like Mayapur, we have to make the best use of Mayapur. We simply have to immerse ourselves in this chanting process, in this process of association, in the process of residing in the holy dham. Most wonderful. So at this stage I'll wind up, and if you have any questions, or if you have any suggestions, if you have any comments, or if you want to correct my mistakes, please feel free to do so.
You quoted one verse, Prema.
Prema Pumarto Mahan.
Yeah, could you read that verse in full? Verse actually says, I've heard it quoted a lot, and I'm not sure where it's from and what it actually says.
Okay, I'm trying to remember the verse now. Is there anybody who can quote the verse, please? Prabhu?
I know one time Srila Prabhupada was asked by a scholar what is the most important verse out of all the verses.
Yes.
And he quoted this verse, and I'm always wondering where it came from and what it says.
I think it is from the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, I know that, but yes. What does it say actually? Do you know? Do you know what the whole verse says?
I suddenly forgot the words. Can somebody help me out?
It says Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam
Puranam Amalam.
Amalam Mahaprabhur Matamidam, like that it ends.
Yes. Okay?
So it's Prabodhananda Saraswati's verse of what is Mahaprabhu's idea of what is the purpose of life. It's a whole. It says that the gopis are the best devotees, and the prema, love of Godhead, is the purpose of life. And in order to establish that, the highest evidence is Bhagavatam, and that is Mahaprabhu's opinion. That's what the whole verse says. It's Prabhupada Saraswati's verse.
Thank you so much. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Sanayas Thaddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kashyid Upasa Vraja Vadhu Kalpita Vargena Yakalpita. Yes. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam
Yad Vaishnavanam
Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam
Prima Pumartha Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matarmidam Tatra Dharanam.
There you go. English translation, anybody?
The Incapable Lord is the son of Nanda Maharaj, who stays in Vrindavan. What's the next line? Yeah, and also is about Vrindavan, is worshipable. Then the gopis are the best devotees, and their way of worship is the highest worship. The love of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life, and Bhagavatam is the highest evidence for the Vaishnavas. That's Mahaprabhu's opinion.
Yes.
That's what it says. That's the English of the verse.
In the purport of that particular verse, there's a statement about the gopis being the topmost devotees of the Lord. And Krishna tells Uddhava, my dear Uddhava, please go immediately because the gopis are waiting. And their state, their condition is very, very, very pitiable. They've completely given up eating. They have completely given up decorating their bodies. They seem to have no mind, and because they've given their hearts and mind completely to me. So they can give up their bodies anytime because of the state. Simply go some way or the other and save them by telling them that Krishna will come tomorrow or maybe the day after tomorrow. Use these two words. Go and tell them, I'm coming tomorrow or maybe day after tomorrow. At least they will somehow, they're holding on to their life air. If they listen to this, then they will regain their consciousness and they will live. I don't want to see them die this way. So please go immediately and save them, O Uddhava, because they are the topmost of devotees, Krishna says. Prabhu? Yashoda Dulal Prabhu is from New Zealand. We have very sweet association. It's very nice to see him back here in Mayapur.
You might not think so after my question. The question, Devasa Muni, you gave some tattva behind why he was seen as being able to control his tongue. You gave some shastric. What about Krishna's brahmachari life? Can you elaborate on that in any way? Or is there something said for the acharyas?
Well, Krishna himself elaborates to the gopis about his being a topmost brahmachari. He elaborates it very nicely. And then the gopis leave to cross over the Yamuna. I don't remember the complete elaboration. Maybe some senior devotees probably there. He could probably elaborate. I think it's in the Thapani Upanishad, if I'm not wrong. Gopal Thapani Upanishad. I read it long ago.
Oh, we know.
Sorry, couldn't hear. Any other questions? Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru Sri Guru.